You are listening to the Cosmic Reality Radio Station, playing shows from the current week, in the hopes you'll take a listen, find something interesting, maybe informative, and maybe inspiring. Thank you for being here. Be safe. Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get Shungite to the masses. You are entering the Shungite Zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. And welcome to the Shungite Show. It's July 9th, 2019. And my name is Nancy Hopkins. Derek Condit will be joining us in a little bit, but we've been gifted with a recording from Barbara Meneses, who has been on the show twice before. But this is just, this is a recording, about a 15-minute recording, that she is gifting us from Shungite and herself. So I just want to thank Barbara for... again, helping us connect even deeper with Shungite. I'm not going to say much more. I'm just going to play the recording from Barbara. And at the end of it, hopefully Derek will be here with me. And we'll be on with the show. So thank you all for being here. Here's Barbara.
Hello, fellow Shungite lovers. This is a little recorded explanation on the third session that we performed from being in touch with Shungite from a bioenergetic perspective and allowing Shungite to tell us what is exactly that she thinks we need to be clearing at this moment in time. And so this healing has been performed at least a week ago from the moment that this has been recorded, and it's been done for the benefit of all humankind. So everybody who listens to this audio, you are part of the audience, and so you can reclaim the benefits of this healing session. Simply, you can state, I choose, or it is my will to, if it is my highest good, I would like to receive the benefits of the healing session number 3 that has been performed by Barbara and Shungite. You can also claim the benefits of session number 1 and session number 2, which were already explained in previous interviews that we did with Nancy Hopkins and Derek Condit. So it's as simple as just claiming these benefits. So today, the third session, Shungite pointed us that we needed to clear 3 blockages from the mental field of all humanity. This was related to 5 implants. And when I asked who put the implants, the answer was artificial intelligence. I'm not going to enter here into any debate as to what is artificial intelligence and whether this is possible or not. Take it, you know, with a pinch of salt. And, you know, this is the most likely response from a resonant point of view. And this is how Shungite explained the nature of these 5 implants. So the 5 implants were generating the following negative effects upon humanity: disappointment, disenchantment, and this was found in the womb area, in the area of the second chakra. If you don't believe in chakras, because you may have, you know, dismantle your chakras, consider it is in the area of the womb. The other negative aspect is sadness in the heart, apathy in the throat, So when we are apathetic, we don't want to talk or maybe voice our concerns, or maybe we say, what's the point in saying something? Inability to overcome things and situations. These artificial implants were affecting with this inability to overcome things and situations at the level of the solar plexus. There was also trauma being induced by these artificial intelligence at the level of the solar plexus. Remember that humanity is trying to shift from solar plexus consciousness, power-based consciousness, to the heart. So if we are still having trauma in the solar plexus, we are being dragged down and away from this goal of establishing a conscious level at the level of the heart. So we also had to clear programming coming from the past with a belief system holding the following view: I do not give myself permission to bond with humanity. Bonding, you know, it is something healthy, not, you know, something dysfunctional. There is a natural bond that we should be having, all of us, between one another. And this bond is kind of breaking or has been, you know, attacked and broken for a long time. So Shungite is telling us that it is urgent to reestablish this bond with humanity. This is affecting our integrity and our wisdom, so it is highly important. There was also negative programming around bonding issues, like a misunderstanding of what bonding is, negative programmings around, you know, I don't want to bond with humanity, what's the point in bonding with humanity, etc. To clear this, we needed to remove negative memories in the genes, which were found at the level, we accessed these negative memories at the level of the womb area. And we had also to remove ancestral and past influences from the heart. After we performed this clearing, there was a message from Shungite. So the message, I'm going to, if you want, paraphrase, because she's not actually talking. It's an expression from a bioenergetic perspective. She wants us to manifest our divine blueprint as humanity. And humanity, according to her, has only manifested 32% of its original essence. When I ask how much of this has Shungite manifested herself, so how much of her original essence is Shungite manifesting now, she said she is at 100%. So we are in the presence of a sentient being who is holding its own integrity and wisdom. So this is really good, to be close to an element, whether it's a person, a human being, a stone, or a place on the earth, that is holding 100% of its original essence. Shungite also pointed out at the concept of a new dimension of unlimited potential. This was very important. So listen, new dimension of unlimited potential, which humanity will be able to open up to once the bond between humanity as a family is reestablished. So we are, facing a possibility of tapping and accessing a new dimension of unlimited potential, which is something new. Maybe in the past we were able to tap into this, you know, unified field of unlimited potentiality. But now what Shungite is telling us is there is a new dimension of unlimited potential that we can tap once we heal and reestablish the appropriate bond between humanity, and we become one family of humanity being reestablished. When we are using the word family, we are not, you know, creating a polarity between black and white, between this and that, between I was the ancient one and you are the latest one to incarnate here. It's one family. So we are not really, you know, going into racism or any other form of, you know, spiritual snobbery, which I have seen lately quite a lot in many, you know, YouTube videos among people who consider that because they have this blood type or they have this color in their skin, they are better or worse. And so forth. So Shungite is really making, you know, a point here that we need to reestablish this bond between humanity. She also pointed out at the concept of empathy. She seems to express that we have misunderstood empathy because of our fear of feeling, which has been part of the problem of the separation of humanity. She seems to be saying that we need to stop fearing to feel one another. She says it is 100% important that humanity recovers their feeling nature, and she confirms that the implants, the ones that we detected in the session, do distort the way we feel. So because we have been carrying implants, or, you know, implants can be energetic, very powerful charges that behave like an implant. So I'm not really, you know, I have an open mind in terms of implants. You know, they can be etheric, energetic, multidimensional implants. You know, they can be physical implants with nanotechnology. I'm not entering here to analyze which type of implant. But these implants are kind of programming humanity to behave in certain ways. And in this particular case, Shungite is saying that these implants that we do have are distorting the way we feel. And this is affecting our bonding with humanity. So we are remaining in separation from one another. So if we want to make a summary of the healing sessions that we have done so far, the first session, Shungite was telling us there was a blockage in communicating with Shungite. So humanity had issues, and I in particular had issues being able to communicate fully with Shungite. What we found was that there were secrets and organizations and feelings of being unworthy that didn't allow us to communicate properly with life. So there were certain organizations, and she pointed out at religious organizations who, by means of certain rituals, disconnect us from being able to communicate with life. And no one has actually told us that we can actually communicate with life, that life is actually a sentient being, just like Shungite is a sentient being, just like Mother Earth is a sentient being herself. So in the first session, we cleared this. We also cleared shadows in our energy field, and we reached a level of harmony, according to Shungite. On the second session, we worked to clear fragmentation. Shungite told us there was, among the audience, among humanity, a 40% level of fragmentation, which caused duality. And this was due to artificial genes and the incarnational process, which in the moment that we incarnated in this construct, whether you call it a real earth or a construct, there was a fragmentation in the average human being. I'm not saying that certain people, you know, incarnated perfectly whole, but as an average, that there was a 40% level of fragmentation. When we are fragmented, we are not whole. When we are not whole, we do not have access to our multidimensional self. We do not have access to our gifts and talents. And part of our work in, you know, in this life, if you want to consider that you are in a spiritual path doing your inner work, is to regain wholeness and to remove the levels of fragmentation, because you can remember yourself, which is become one member within yourself. And so there are not members of you that are dismembered. You become one within yourself. And so you can listen to all the aspects and all the different voices that you have within yourself, but you have these, you know, witness that is conscious, that is awakened, that is holding everything in a welcoming and all-embracing, all-loving, compassionate way towards yourself. And so wholeness can then be. So this is part of our work. We also found in the session number two, according to Shungite, that there was a lot of sadness. This was affecting the DNA, the life force, the breath of life, the level of fragmentation that we were mentioning. Shungite told us that we need to open the Shung Gate. She made a game of words, Shung Gate, which is the ocean of potentiality. So Shungite is a keeper, is a guardian keeper of the gate that opens the ocean of pure potentiality that we can tap and that we can access once we become one within ourselves and one within humanity as one single humanity. What she's telling us is that we can reach this new dimension of pure potentiality once we reunite with ourselves and once we reunite among humanity. She also said that for this gate to be fully open, a human being needs to be at his highest level of integrity and holding the highest good for all type of mentality. So we cannot really be fully entering this field of pure potentiality if we are holding this service to self, mean, greedy, egotistic and so forth, habits. It's not going to happen. It's the gates will not open. You will think you are there, but you won't be able to tap into all the energy that is available when you are centered and in full alignment with the highest good of all, and you are in wholeness within yourself and holding wholeness for humanity. The third session, as I just said, we cleared blockages on the emotional body of all humanity. The third session was actually another session. So what I start mentioning at the beginning is the fourth session. So we have done four sessions already. So on the third session, we cleared blockages on the emotional body of humanity. This was in relation to source. There were beliefs in inferiority, self-doubt, intranquility. And Shanghai told us that she wants to help us to reconnect with source. So let's go over this again. First session, we needed to clear our connection with Shanghai. Second session, we needed to clear the levels of fragmentation that we were carrying as we incarnated. And there was more than healing, there was an understanding that we need to be in this level of wholeness to be able to open this Shang gate and to open the field. On session three, we cleared blockages in relation to source. And on the session four, we worked on, as I just said, on reestablishing the bond with humanity and removing blockages due to 5 implants that were causing these emotions of disappointment, sadness, apathy, inability to overcome things, situations in the solar plexus, and clearing trauma in the solar plexus, which I believe is a way in which Shanghai is telling us that our problem is located in the solar plexus. The battle is being, there is a reflection of this big battle going on, and it's happening in our solar plexus, and it's dividing humanity. So by us clearing all these blockages and these feelings of disappointment, sadness, apathy, and inability to overcome things, and clearing the trauma in the solar plexus, we will be able to feel better one another and reestablish the bonds with humanity. So I hope this helps you. I hope this communication with Shanghai, is of some kind of benefit to you. And many blessings from Barbara Meneses. And my webpage, if you want to look after me or for me, it's Bach Pendulos, B-A-J, and then a little slash, pendulos.com. Many, many, many blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm just... I've heard it, and I just heard it again. Let me get Walt. Yeah, right. I'm thinking of Walt because it's actually Derek I'm going for. But what I find so very interesting is the fact that this particular message from Barbara is so synchronistically tied to the Cosmic Reality Radio show, the last three shows we've had, and actually the fourth one that's coming up. if you haven't heard those shows, I don't put these up on YouTube because they're pretty, let's say, well, if we put them up on YouTube, we're going to jeopardize the entire station because this, we talk about things that are really far out there and, let's see, wait a minute, hold on, well, who's talking to me? It's Maureen. He's getting off the phone call in just a second, he says. Okay, good. Thank you, Maureen. Maureen is his wife. Okay, it says Derek is unavailable. No, he's just on the other phone. So I'm going to babble here for a bit. Golly gee whiz, I better check the station, make sure we're still up. Yes, we are. Cosmic Reality. Shungite is without a doubt more magical than even I understood when I started this journey. When we talk about the sentience of Shungite, Walt and I in particular, right off the bat, we began to have a very deep connection, and I'd worked with minerals for decades. I had never found a, mostly if you find a ruby, it's going to have the same energy signature as all rubies. But when I started dealing with Shungite, I was very much aware that every single nugget seemed to have its own little identity. It was much more like a, if you had a pile of nuggets, it was much more like a hive kind of thing, you know, where you've got all these individuals making a community. Than any other mineral I'd seen. Like I say, a ruby had a signature of ruby. Yes, it had changes based on where it actually grew. But the reality is that it all seemed to be, they all have a sentience, but the sentience of ruby, let's put it that way, okay. It's like an over, it's like, I kind of think of it as a soul of ruby. That then manifests in all its little pieces all over the world, a soul. When you're dealing with Shungite, it's more than just a soul. It's very much into the echelons of some kind of a divinity, some kind of a cosmic creation consciousness. It's got a sentience beyond anything that I have ever encountered before. So I was aware of it. But, and we talk about it, but every time we talk about it, I'd go, but where is it coming from? What is it? Why does this stuff seem to have such a powerful mental kind of ability to talk to us, to guide us? And it does so many magical things. It clears toxicity from water, from air, from the ground. I mean, it's truly a magical, mystical, I'll say sacred, element that was given to us. I mean, we like to say that, you know, it's got, it's, what do we say? What is it, the term we use? It's like, got everything that you need to build a reality. And yet, what's the sentience? Where is it coming from? So, in Cosmic Reality, we've been following a thing called black goo. Okay, here he is. Here he is. Okay, incoming call. Derek, are you there? Did you answer? Oh, wait a minute. I got you all muted, hon. Hold a second. Okay. Okay, I've got you unmuted. Now you're live. How are you?
Doing well. You hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. Okay.
Good.
I've just been babbling about Barbara's piece that she just gave us, the recording, her session with the fourth session that she had with Shungite messaging. Did you get to hear it?
I only got through about half of it before my call I had scheduled, so not all of it.
Okay. All right. She did this probably 2 weeks ago now, maybe 10 days. And for some reason, it never, you sent it to me, but it never got to me. And I never did find it. And, you know, it's like, why was there this big delay in me hearing her tape? Well, now I know after hearing the tape, because what she's saying is giving such a new, profound look at the discussion that Walt and myself and Dolly have been having for the last three shows, and we're going to do another one tonight, and Cosmic Reality, regarding black goo and sentience. And the fact that there is some kind of an artificial AI demigod consciousness out there, as, you know, discussed by Harold Krausvella. So this whole thing about the implants, she's discussing five implants in the body. I got to tell you, boys and girls, I mean, I've been dragging my feet, kicking and screaming. I don't want to hear about no implants. It just doesn't jive with me. But the longer I go down this path, I have to concede. Yes, we have implants. There is such a thing as implants. And of course, on Cosmic Reality, we've begun to really deal with some of these implants. So the synchronicity of this particular 15 minutes of her session with Shungite is stunning. We just keep getting confirmation that what we're doing is right. So I don't want to get into the conversation now, because we are going to talk about it on Cosmic Reality. We've got a lot of things to talk about on Cosmic Reality. Should be a really good show. But as I started to say, that show seldom goes up on YouTube, because we do get into some really outlandishly out there. I mean, the show is called Reality Sci-Fi. Entertainment purposes only. So I babbled enough. How are you doing? You had a call. Did it go well?
Oh, yeah, it went real well. Yeah, it went well and accomplished a lot, and we're going to keep going on. Yeah.
Awesome. So did you want to say anything about what Barbara said?
Not until I get a chance to listen to the whole thing, and then me jumping in on the show where I'm at now, you know, kind of just figuring out what's going on. But no, so I'll wait and maybe comment on another show if that's okay, when I get to listen to the whole segment, because I think it was, wasn't it like 15 minutes long?
Yeah, it was 15 minutes long. I'm going to summarize it a little bit so that we do acknowledge the message. Okay. And forgive me, Barbara, if I don't do you justice, but Shungite too. In the fourth session, she was led to understand that we had implants, five of them, and that they were somehow attributable to artificial intelligence. She didn't get into a discussion of artificial intelligence except to say it could take any form. It could be etheric, and you know, it could be physical, it could be, you know, so there's different ways, but she didn't get into it except to say there's other, you know, there's different versions of this stuff. And then she related Shungite's message, the real key message. I think that part of it was for me and Walt and Dolly and the others that have been following this crazy story about sentience and black goo, and, you know, cosmic black goo is probably Shungite, and we're only beginning to tap into what that entails. But what the message was that I think Shungite was trying to deliver was that the real problem with humanity is that we are not connected. You know, they have completely and continually put us in little separate camps. And because of that, and because of the implants, and I don't remember exactly, like I remember, well, I'm not going to get into the details of it. You guys will have to listen to it. I don't want to screw anything up by the beautiful message she gave. But the human beings, the humanity, the family of man, has just been put in all these different camps because of whatever reasons. I mean, the implants, the AI intrusion, so that we are not making the connection as being a human family. And that when we can make that connection and will make that connection, then humanity is going to take a position in creation that I think it was meant to take. Not to put down anybody else, not to say that anybody else is inferior or even different, really. I mean, we have these outer differences. But what I'm understanding, and I found this to be throughout all of the decades that I've been dealing with, the alternative reality. When you get with people who are in communication with extraterrestrial civilizations, there is always this underlying kind of awe about humanity. And some of the big ones, Tolkien in particular, when I was trying to discuss this with him, he was like, oh my God, he says, I never said this to anybody, but, you know, when I'm dealing with his sources, yes, he said, they act as if we're royalty. And I never understood it and never said anything about it. And the idea behind that, I think, is that humanity has been mucked with in so many ways from its original concept from Gaia or the Source God, has been mucked with DNA changes by many, many different civilizations. So what you've got is you've got a mix in humanity that's got essentially DNA from numerous star civilizations. So if you've got the reptilians fighting the Palladians, or the Palladians fighting the Zetas, all of this fighting and stuff, they're separate to a more degree than when you get a human being involved in it, because we've got everybody, they're all family to us. We got their DNA in us. You know, so I think that within the scheme of trying to get a handle on the violence and the separation that has forbidden the biological, organic life side of this universe against the artificial silicon concept of we, being the creations of the Source God, can create even a better thing than the Source God created, right? Source God is working with biological, organic, and it's not necessarily carbon, there's different versions of it, but organic. And here you got this artificial intelligence that comes from running around and playing with us, and that artificial intelligence believes that the organic life forms are inferior. And so if you get that kind of let's talk as it a working theory, you know, that you've got this biological and then you've got this artificial. What's been allowing the artificial to take one world out after another? It's the separation of all the organic biology. So now the story goes that this entity, a demigod, Satan, think of him as Satan, gets to Earth, and that is what the problem is that being begins to screw around with the humanity. But at the same time, there's been a quarantine around the planet, and they're saying, you know, don't get in there and don't mess with them, but they've already messed with our DNA. Because this DNA exchange has made us a family. So we're like the best negotiators. You know, we should be the best negotiators for bringing peace between all of the various organic life forms. To be able to confront this artificial intelligence that is there for whatever reason, but it is challenging our right to live, our right to exist. Anyway, what do you think of that? That's me spinning what Barbara said into, you know, what we've been discussing on cosmic reality.
No, I agree with that. And the last part you mentioned, basically, I think we are cosmic mutts. So, I mean, we should be able to be a good go-between. So we're a mixture of all sorts of things. No, I'll have to definitely listen to the whole message because it sounds fascinating. And when she's talking about the various forms of implants or attachments and the term different things. But yeah, that's all fascinating. And as far as I'm concerned, it's all, that's all real. And just whether you realize it or not. So it's, yeah, it's hard to comment too much again without hearing her whole story, but it was definitely, I liked the part where you were mentioning, where, you know, the good go-between where we, as humans, because we are, you know, down here in physical, biological, that, you know, and we connect both in the etheric and physical. So it's a good mixture and combination. And I don't think they want too many people being in that state either. So hence some of the implants and whatnot to, you know, sometimes distract people or dumb them down or limit them.
It's a fascinating time we're living in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
the difference
between, well, I really think that 2016 was a demarcation point. 2017 was, changes were occurring that created a definite awareness and a definite enlightenment in humanity that set up our ability to better deal with the cards that were played in 2018. And so now we're in 2019, and, you know, the game just went from, you know, some simplistic fish, go fish game into outright bridge. You know what I'm saying? It's gotten much more complicated.
Oh, yeah.
But we're more able to deal with it because we, and if you look back, I was watching it happen as it happened year after year. Because every year we'd talk about what happened the year before and talk about what was going to happen. And we also had Dave Corso, who's a being on the other side who communicates with us. He used to own the station. We all got together on the radio station. And Dave was telling us things that at the time we'd go like, what does he mean? I don't know what he means. But would become clear. So with the guidance of what Dave was setting up for us and, you know, just sitting there and kind of observing it, I can see a progression where right now, we're just beginning to really grasp the concept of the human family. And to me, this is very exciting. And I think part of the reason is Shungite. You know, it is a sentient being. Now, when we say that, what does that mean to you, Derek? Do you feel it?
I do, and there's lots of ways of terming that. It's so, I guess, to, on the more basic level for sentient being is a connection. So there's a connection, and once you're, I kind of default on the term, an entity, but that's the same thing, sort of thing. Once you're an individual, unique, I don't mean separated, but then you always have a connection, and Shungite has that connection. So therefore, it basically is that in that terminology of sentient being, and it has an effect. It has an effect on everything it encounters. So it's not just an inanimate object, maybe physically, but energetically, and its connection is absolute. So that makes sense. I don't know if I'd say living, but that's not what we're saying anyway, but a sentient being. So that's a good way of putting it. Especially the way that all living beings, be it plants, animals, insects, respond to it. And then, you know, physically we can, many of us can just feel it. So it's almost like a unique of its own, or maybe we're just experiencing the first of this type of a being, I guess you could say. It's just hard to put it into words because it kind of sits there in the middle where it's not literally running around everywhere, and it's not just an inanimate object either because it's having an effect on everything it encounters. So it's kind of in between there.
You haven't been listening to Cosmic Reality Radio. Trust me, this is new to me, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the whole concept. But the idea is that every single planet has a consciousness, a sentience, a creative capability. I call it, you know, creator consciousness. You can't have life, you can't have manifestation without a thought. And the thought that starts up like Earth is the creator consciousness, in this case, Gaia. Gaia's consciousness is contained in what's called black goo. Black, G-O-O, black goo. Okay, this has been something that Harold Krausvella discussed. And there was a other world that got taken over by the AI, got really screwed up, blew up, and that black goo sentience of that planet ended up coming to Earth and hitting Earth in a huge meteorite storm that threw this stuff all over the place. And that's what the Nazis were actually using in the form of schist, because what you got is a meteorite, you know, just like shungite. You got a black, you know, mineral, a combination. It's like a stew. But this stew is from another planet that is harboring the AI sentience. It's sort of like the AI sentience takes over this black goo on this planet and then begins to use it to manipulate everything on the planet until it apparently gets bored with it and then just makes them self-destruct. And then he goes on to some other planet. And according to Harold, this has been going on for quite a long time. And I know this sounds crazy, but Harold's been out there for a long time, and he can talk about a lot of other science that'll just blow your mind and you won't understand it. It's so deep. But the schist, it's called schist. It's like, you know, a black stone. And they were taking this black schist that had you have to crush it and then do something to it. Walt found out how they were doing it. And then you can extract the oil, the goo. Now, sometimes the goo is actually goo that you run into the black goo as, you know, black goo, not in its schist form. And they were taking the schist form of it and carving like daggers out of it. And the SS had daggers. They had little knickknacks all over their house that were made from this stuff. And it is such a powerful sentience, because not only is it a sentience of an entire world, it's imbued with the AI overlay. So people that would encounter it would actually be taken over in their consciousness. Unless you were like Harold. Harold, that's what he found. Somebody gave him some of this stuff. They had tons of the schist in an underground cave that the Nazis were in control of. And the guy was saying, I don't know what this thing is, but maybe you do. And as soon as Harold got involved with it, he lost his identity. But he was working with people who understood things like this. And he went to him and he said, there's something very wrong with me. I'm aggressive. I'm hateful. I'm not me. And it's ever since I touched this shit stuff. And so they started analyzing. First off, they went through a protocol to clear Harold of whatever this stuff was. And they have spent virtually decades now looking at this black goo. And what is it? And how does it work? And there's a story. I mean, we've done three shows already. Well, that's just recently. We've done also, you know, shows in the past on the same subject, on cosmic reality. So what we have here is we have shungite, who is which wasn't black goo. We didn't think of it that way. We didn't even know about black goo. And then we start learning about black goo. And we've got shungite, but I wasn't making the connection. And I simply wasn't. And then all of a sudden, it starts to become clear that everything that we know about shungite conforms to a definition that shungite is cosmic black goo. It's not Gaia's. It's not this other thing. It's cosmic. It was built in the cosmos. And once we started to go down that path, that you know, side trip in the rabbit hole, a lot of things began to become more and more clear. Like, why is shungite seemingly getting more potent? Why does shungite not work when you get a person that does not have a pure heart? Now, it will work for people who, in our opinion, might be really nasty jerk-offs. Sometimes they could even steal with a reason. Doing things that we wouldn't, you know, think were beneficial for any reason. But they still have that energy in their heart of love and compassion, even though it's not dominating in them. And shungite will feel that spark and say, okay, I'm going to work with you just because you got that spark. You're a jerk, but I'll try to help you out here. Whereas sometimes shungite doesn't seem to work for no matter what that person does. And unfortunately, that person is somebody who is, I don't think, has that spark in their heart to turn it on. And you can, you know, you people out there, you can, you know, say I'm wrong or something. I've been at this a long time, and the only people that I've ever seen who simply couldn't, it doesn't work for me. Now, sometimes they say that, but then I'm detecting, yes, it is. You just don't know it. All right? But some people, they say it, and I can feel, no, they cannot. Shungite's not turning on for them. And my interpretation is because these people really, they're very pathetic, and I feel for them. But I don't know how to turn that spark back on in your heart. So the shungite can come out and help you get even further. But I don't even know because every time I think about all this stuff, Derek, it's like, even for me, it's like, blah, 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 blah. What'd you say? So I don't know, but we're going to discuss more of this on the Cosmic Reality Show tonight. So back to you. What do you want to talk about? You're so busy, you don't get a chance, kind of, to even think about doing. What am I supposed to talk about? You know,
I know.
I can pull up the Facebook notes I've got and stuff, and we can go through that if you'd like.
Sure, we can go over whatever comes to mind.
Or you can give us a quick update on what's happening with the bees.
Okay. Yep, we can definitely do that. We can start there. And we went out again this morning and yesterday to check on the shungite bees, and they're. I need to add, as I mentioned to you, Nancy, a third box already on the hives. So the two boxes high, and each box, beehive box, contains 10 frames, and they're filling that up so rapidly, each of these boxes, 10-frame boxes, that we're already having to add the third. And this one, this next, so in the bottom two boxes of the beehive, it's probably 75 or 80% brood frames, so babies, meaning these are really large beehives growing very rapidly and expanding. So if I don't put an additional box on top, they're going to swarm and or split and go in the nearby woods. So we're going to go ahead and I'm going to keep, because the queens are so healthy, and I did get a chance to see from the, we'll call the number one shungite beehive, the queen. I pulled out a frame before one of our shows, and she was actually sitting on it, because typically I don't go through there just yanking out frames looking for the queen. But as I was pulling out a frame to look at, and I could see the brood pattern or the laying pattern, which was pretty much flawless, by the way. And that's where the queen will go from cell to cell laying an egg, and then the worker bees will come behind her and cover it up with a cap. And there's the less open cells, the better. So she had what's called a really full brood pattern or laying pattern on the frames I was pulling out. So I put back that frame that she was on. She looked really healthy, by the way. We're still talking about the shungite queen. And if I see her again, I'll try. I don't usually have a phone with me or anything, but if I can ever get an image of her, a photo, I'll try and do that so people can see. She's extremely healthy, laying well, and the hives are, well, let's think here. It's July, the first week of July, so July 9th. I'd have to say, and I need to look back on my notes, but these two Shungite hives that we have right now are expanding probably more rapidly than any of the previous years. Because I'm pretty sure we're a couple weeks ahead, at least, of the third boxes I was adding in last year, let's say. So they're doing real well. Lots of pollen, lots of nectar this year so far. No problems there. And again, they're starting to beard, as I mentioned a couple shows ago, where the bees will be in such numbers that they're kind of pushing out the other ones outside of the bottom of the hive. And in this case, they all group around the shungite such that you can't even see it. The shungite disappears. I don't know if I've mentioned that before. So if I went out there now, but especially later in the evening, when all the bees start coming back to the hive from the day out pollinating, they'll land on that shungite and it'll just completely be gone. So there'll be probably a palm-sized pile of bees that look like a beard, hence why they call it bearding, right on top of the shungite, and it's on the shungite every time. So that's where they'll push out. So I'm going to go ahead and add another box and let them expand some more. I'd rather go ahead and let them expand in numbers so that I am going to allow them to, when they split or want to generate new queens, to just expand out into the countryside and the mountains and integrate with the local population, the native bees, to get those numbers back up. Our apple tree, we've moved the beehives this year, so they're such that they're not even, how do I explain this? So when the bees come out of the hives, they're located such that they come up to our fence line, which forces them up in the air, and then they go off further away for pollination. So we have an apple tree that's situated that's not easy to get to, is what I'm getting at here. So the bees have to go through great efforts to get to it, and they're doing that, and or there's such numbers that they can't help but do that. I've had to rebrace our apple tree. There's, I don't know, thousands of apples on it. We're going to lose some branches again this year. It's an older tree, and it's just so plentiful with the pollination that it's going to have too many as well. But, you know, that's great. And then for the bees, and they get their pollen and nectar. So they're doing real well. And the second hive, I'm going to leave and not put a third box on and go ahead and let the bees possibly, hopefully, just expand out right now into the countryside and see how that goes and hopefully get some video like Maureen did 1 or 2 years. I think it was last year where she walked out and she had her cell phone with her, and she was in the middle of a swarm when there were just tens of thousands of shungite bees flying in the air. And we put that video on YouTube too. So if you type in shungite bees and swarm, or we did it on the eclipse as well, you'll see some video of that. But no, they're doing great. And the honey is overflowing with honey, and we're not into it for the honey or anything like that. So we just an observation. Frames are completely full. Golden pure honey looks really, I haven't tried any of it. So I can't really comment on that. But as far as the abundance of it, lots of honey in our hives. I visited about an hour away, some other shungite beehives that are on some property. And I know we're getting close to the top of the hour now, so you can let me know if you want me to continue. But these are the ones that were under the power lines, which are some high tension power lines, electrical lines. And so we're doing observations, we'll call it, on these beehives. So they're probably, no, it's probably, I don't know, 50, 60 feet under the power lines.
You know, excuse me. How many hives are we talking?
At this location, just two. So just two,
okay,
of this.
Just two of them. But they are right directly under power lines.
Directly. Not even off to the side 15 feet. This property is situated such that it's just, and I guess it was maybe inexpensive being under the lines. And that's where they put the hives. So it's right under, and I have to walk under these power lines to, you know, check the hives, which I did a couple of days ago for the first time. Because this individual just, go ahead.
What did you feel from the power lines?
Oh, nausea instantly. So, okay, we go physically, just straight nausea. I don't know how to explain that one. So energetic turning in my stomach, because I thought it was my stomach like turning over, but it was waves of nausea. I guess that's the best explanation. And then slight headache I got, but nothing unbearable, but absolutely you could tell you were near these. Well, I knew it driving up to them, and then coming around to them. So I felt it there, but even more so after I parked the vehicle, walked out under the power lines to the beehives that again were directly under. And then it was, so it's tangible. You could feel it.
Okay. Now you're in Washington State, and when you told me you were going to do this, you know, with these little hives in that position, I was like freaked out. I'm going like, you're torturing the bees. Oh my God. I couldn't even conceive it. Because not only are they confronting the electromagnetic pollution and dangers of it, but there's something to do with the radiation that builds up in that area. Can you explain that to me? Because you've got radiation in that area from the Hanford facility. It's a nuclear storage facility. And, of course, from Fukushima, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So there is radiation in the air. And when you've got radiation in the air and it gets involved with the electromagnetic systems, there's something that happens, right?
Yeah, there is. And then just a note as well. These aren't my two Shungai beehives. This is a third individual that just started set up their own, and they happen to be close enough to where I can come and take a look at them. So I didn't necessarily just pick this location and put them there. It's another one that was his only location to work with. And he asked me about it beforehand. And so we talked, but he wanted to try them. So that's that situation.
Because they're going into the worst situation that a beehive could be in. And you know, I didn't mean to say that you made that decision. I knew you weren't. Well, let's face it. You know, I mean, I suspect that you asked the bees, can you do this?
Oh, yeah. We had that. Okay. I'll leave off the radio. So, yes, that conversation happened. They said it wouldn't be a problem at all. So the quick, get to that answer really quickly. They laughed at it. Not a problem. We're going to have no problem. So I already knew the outcome that we're still waiting to see happen. But, you know, the responses or the outcome how it's going to help. So I'll really quickly tell you. So. There are physics papers written on this. I can't name any right now off the top of my head. But if you have the high tension power lines are set, and I'm not talking about your phone lines or power lines that go down your cul-de-sac. So these are the high tension ones that there's multiple, six or eight of them or more going, you know, through just miles and miles. Those have a way of affecting the environment and the atmosphere such that the rad or the radiation particles that are in the air and they're abundant here for the couple of the reasons Nancy just mentioned, Fukushima, because we're downwind, and then Hanford. So they're in the air. What it'll tend to do, being around these high tension power lines, is accumulate these particles in that area and bring them out of suspension on the ground. So what I'm getting at here is under these high tension power lines through the whole country, not just here in Washington or wherever these are at, there's going to tend to be more rad or radiation particle and other ones. I'm not a scientist, so I'm speaking vaguely here, coming out of the atmosphere. And they were talking about harmful ones, all with negative effects on the foliage and plants and people coming out of that area around these lines. So I get it. It's cheap land sometimes to buy under these lines, and they don't exactly advertise that this is happening, of course, but that is one factor. So there is, and you can do soil samples under these lines too and get higher particulate readings. And I have a Geiger counter and a surplus one we got from the military. We can take that out there and you can test all this stuff. So the bees are in, there are two hives in that situation. And again, we're monitoring. So I was just over there the other day and took the first glance at them and opened them up and the hives that is and looked. And he's, my friend that is, who has the beehives, is really excited. They're doing well. He has no losses on these hives. I think he's probably a month into it, and they're expanding and growing well, not as rapidly as ours here, but he started later. So there's lots of factors here. So it's not like, hey, ours are doing better sort of deal. It's just, it's all relative. But so good results so far, and I'll keep monitoring those and give updates. So if you remind me in a month, I'll get another update from him or go out there myself and look at him and see how they're doing. But that is an issue with the radiation and the particulates in the air around those power lines.
So we've got volunteers to go into the most deadly situation they can get into, and no problem.
We'll try it. Somebody mentioned in chat too, it's flew by my screen, maybe it was Dolly, but I have taken Shungite nuggets and taken to these different transformers, power lines, just different substations, and it does have an effect on all of them. One little nugget, so I'll tell the story real quick because I know we're going to have to break commercial break. I was driving by we'll call it a substation, lots of transformers. I couldn't get up next to it because there was fence around it. So I'll take the nuggets, small Shungite nuggets, and toss them nearby there and get them within that fence perimeter. I don't care if it's what we call Bucky Band-Aid nuggets, the extra small ones. They have an immediate and absolute effect, even when they get close. So it's in my hand for a amount of time, but it has an effect as it gets closer to that substation. So I do that. go to these tension power lines where the beehives are and lay them there. I've even come up on cell phone towers, substations, and not tell anybody to do any of this, but I've done it and it's had an effect. So, and I only do it where I'm extra concerned, like the beehives are there or something like that. So I'm not just driving around, you know, looking for telephone poles and things.
The concept that the one nugget will, or the nuggets will affect those kind of structures is because it's affecting the electric. Mm-hmm. It's changing the electric. These are electric wires. When you get into the Wi-Fi, you will have a change. But to make the ultimate change in the Wi-Fi, you need the S4. I mean,
absolutely.
That's what we discovered. Okay, I'm going to play us a four-minute tune. More like three and a half. And we'll be back.
Early in the morning, when it used to be a school, tiny business left, don't let the cattails pull you down in the bottom when nothing is born. Sleeps a silver dollar with your face there on. Wish I could trace the frowning compass of your mouth. Drop a mercury down a Roman drain in summer moss. Don't feel extinction when you see your face on the money. Wait in the heavens that are already born. Sleeps a red planet in the galaxy of a line star. Rip this every dinner. Buckled up on the alarm carpet of limestone. Wish I could stand in the spray at the cliff of your sleeper bay. Ocean of naked serrated marble crushing again.
Show. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Derek Condon, and the date is July 9th, 2019. Derek, are you back? Are you back, Derek?
I'm back if I quit stumbling on that mute button.
It can be a bugger, huh?
I know.
Oh, my.
It can.
Okay. Let's get into, I'm trying to think. There was one thing that we kept forgetting to tell people. Did we ever talk about it? Oh, gosh. I don't know.
I'm trying to remember.
Let's get into this last week we've had an interesting discussion about mold and shungite.
Please leave a message.
I should have turned that sucker off. Mold and shungite, because there were people that were saying that they had mold on their shungite. The person that was talking about it had put it in tea. But can you just give your overall, what you think about this? Because to me, mold is a natural thing. I mean, yes, there are toxicities. There's black mold that's toxic to human beings. Shungite takes care of things that are toxic like that, but in a lot of cases, mold and algae and all of this is very beneficial, and shungite's not going to get rid of something that's beneficial. Now, I believe in the sentience of shungite, and I believe that you can say, because we've had this problem with swimming pools, where some people have had absolutely no problem with the algae or the cleanliness, or and everything is perfect in their pool. Including the fact that the pool with, well, we're talking about a shungite turtle, which is, a device that Walt makes. And so you get the shungite turtle in it, and it's doing everything it's supposed to be doing. The water's clean. You don't put chemicals in it. There's no algae. Nothing is growing in it. But it attracts bees. I mean, this one friend of mine, she put the turtle in there, and a little bit later goes out and she finds that all these bees are diving into the pool and drowning. And she's freaking out. She's going, don't do that, don't do that. Whatever she did, she programmed the turtle to tell the bees, don't do that, get away. You know, don't kill yourselves in this, being attracted to the shungite. So we know that in the perfect situation, you know, there's nothing growing. But then we've had situations where people's algae went crazy. Now, it's the same device, but the algae's going crazy. It was a different place, different pool. And I kind of think that that's because when, like when my friend said, saw the bees, they put out a mental thought saying, please don't let this happen. And the shungite said, oh, okay, you know. Whereas with the algae thing, they begin to, oh my gosh, look at all this algae growing. So the shungite hears algae growing. Oh, okay, make it out. You know what I'm saying? Are you there? Are you muted? Hello?
No, I'm here. Yep. No, that's it. Didn't, do you want me to go ahead and expand on the mold part?
Yeah, I want, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. What I was going to say is, so I would actually be surprised if she didn't see mold on her shungite nuggets in that circumstance because of the tea. I mean, so when you have, if it's in water, there's going to be limited, you know, depending on your water, of course, particulates in it and or have different ones. So if you're taking shungite nuggets, just the raw nuggets, and putting them in your tea, well, there's going to be lots of particles in that tea that's coming from the bag, depending on the type of tea you're using and different plant pieces in there and sugars and things like that that are going to settle on the nuggets as well. So really, as I was saying, I'd kind of be amazed if it didn't happen as far as that. But even that, in that case, what I would do is just every so often take out the nuggets and rinse them off under running water. But it is making that tea, you know, biocompatible to where it's going to be, things are going to want to live in it. Things are going to want to grow in it. And I agree with Nancy where shungite does enhance so beneficial energies and yes, bacteria and molds and things, many are good for us. We're covered with them. Every bite we take has some form or another on it anyway. That's what this whole plan is about. So it's hard to avoid that anyway. So it's not a problem having it in there. And with shungite being in that tea, it's also made it more biocompatible now. There's lots of names for it, structured, M-state water, or they're used sometimes interchangeably. But regardless, living organisms will find that water more beneficial or biocompatible, even if it's mold or bacteria. And then when you have the shungite energized water and you drink it, because it is such, your body's going to recognize it as biocompatible, we'll call it. and absorb approximately 90% of it to where you'll then discharge or urinate out 10% if it wasn't. So standard water that would be sometimes called dead water because it's gone through all sorts of angles and metal pipes and pumps and different things and not been reintroduced to a Shungite energized environment, it would be that dead water, and then it'll be reverse, as I was saying. So then your body would divert 90% of it to your bladder. You'd pee that out, and you'd maybe get 10% of the water for use. So we're all walking around dehydrated, unless we have this, you know, living water, or structured water, or Shungite water, lots of terms. So again, that's what I was saying, bring it back to the tea. It's enhancing it, so not in a harmful way, but the enhancement may mean you have to rinse your nuggets a little more often, but that doesn't really surprise me. So I would continue still doing it, but just rinse the nuggets off. And then if you want, Nancy, I can tell a little bit about, for those that maybe don't want to put the Shungite in their coffee, or if you're just not such that you want to put the nuggets in there, we are developing new items, and I'll just touch on it really quickly, where we've encapsulated Shungite nuggets in glass. So it's a safe glass, lead-free, and or straws, a glass straw, to where I'll fill it with Shungite powder and then seal off both ends. So now you have kind of a Shungite stir stick sort of thing, or a little, I think I was kind of tentatively calling them Shungite water drops. So you can put those in your glass, and then that would take care of that problem if you were, you know, wanting to use it in your teas. Okay. So there's lots of options there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to explain something to the audience. People think that Cosmic Reality LLC is a kind of a big company. It's not a big company. There are three of us that work it and own it. And there's one part-time employee that helps out in the store with getting the orders out. There's only three of us. Okay, so when Derek is talking about, well, I'm going to do this, you know, this guy, I think there's more than one Derek. I actually think there's probably clones of him, because he does things that I said to him, how the hell did you do that with a glass thing? Because to me, it's like, talk about magic and voodoo. I mean, you got a nugget in glass. Well, how'd you do that? Can you just explain so people can understand that you're just kind of brilliant, and that you see a problem. Now, people have been, I don't know if I want to put this, do I have to wash it off? Yeah. And it's like, no, it clears water. It takes toxicity out of the air, out of the soil. Why are you afraid to put it in your water? There's nothing in the Shungite that, even the rust, it's rust. You don't want to have, you know, drink a lot of rust, but it's not going to hurt you. There's nothing in Shungite that is detrimental to the human being, animals or plants. So when you have a situation where you're fearful of it, I'm like, what's the matter with you? And Derek's like, oh, well, let me think about this. How can I fix this for you and make it easier? So the next thing he's doing, he's putting nuggets in glass. So can you please just explain to people, you know, how that can be done?
Sure, yeah, no problem. For the in-glass one, that, again, I guess we'll just call them water drops. So the Shungite water drops, I have a special glass that we ordered and brought in. And what I'll basically do, let's get to the process quickly, is heat up the end to the proper temperature, all glasses, different temperatures, and basically cut off a small section onto a sheet. So it looks like, in essence, a nickel or a quarter, and it'll kind of level itself out there to the shape I want. And then I can take the pre-selected Shungite nuggets, set it on this piece of glass, and then I'm taking a separate piece, heating it of the glass. So they're long rods. Think of a dowel stick, if you know what those are. Probably quarter inch in diameter, so not real thick, and then heating up the end and then making it such that I put another globule around that nugget, and it forms around and connects and then basically fills in as a resin would, getting rid of the air pockets and what, and then it'll harden, and then just basically have your small glass bead, or like I was saying, water drop, I was calling it because we were going to put it in water, with the Shungite in the middle. And I've got different colored glass. I'm playing with doing that, all natural, all lead free, of course. So that's how I was developing the Shungite water drops. And then the straw was kind of just the opposite. Rather than a solid tube of glass. I've got the open-ended ones, and we'll fill that after closing off one end, heating it up, sealing it, basically just taking the glass tube, heating it such, and then pressing down on it, and it'll seal the bottom. So now I have an enclosed tube and fill it up and do it in reverse. And then this can be, of course, stuck in any beverage or fluid, and I still get the energetic benefits, and but not have to worry about taking the shungite out. And actually, it's powder in the straw anyway, which works just as well as a nugget. The form doesn't make a difference. But then this way, we can also introduce, when we're ready, possibly S4 powder inside of these straws. And then I've built one. We'll get into this later, but I've staggered layers in there. So think now orgone device in a straw, or a stir, however you want to title that. But so we, I don't think there's ever an end to what we can do. It's a lot of fun, too.
So that's just one indication of what all of the products that we give you are basically made by, well, Walt Silva and his mom still do all of the stickers, all of the S4 powder, all of that. But all of these other products that you get are not trinkets. Somebody once called them trinkets. I didn't understand what they were talking about. But they thought that what we were selling were gimmicks to get people to buy more. This isn't the way it works. This is Derek just going like, I wonder what if I did that? And so he does these things, and most of the time, sometimes it comes just out of the air, but most of the time, he's responding to people's needs. I'll go, why did you make that? And he goes, because somebody asked if I could, if we could do this. And so every single product that you see on our including the embroidered hats, the shampoos, you know, they got a new soap out there, Shungite soap, which I did get, thank you. And that's Maureen. There's Maureen Condit, Derek Condit, and myself, okay? Those two are running the store and the production end of it. I work with a radio station and I don't know. Oh, yeah, I'm writing a book. And I wrap the pendants. By the way, on the concept of the pendants, we want to tell you this. What happened was that somebody who's very much into the Shungite went on the website and they started looking at it in a way that a new customer might look at it. And she pointed out to us that it was getting, she couldn't find the pendants. She said, I'm so behind the pendants because it gives them personal protection. And yet, it didn't jump out at me that one of the first things that you should get is these pendants. Now, you can get the nuggets, and they're going to help, but the pendants are where you do have shungite devices. These are energy devices that not only help attenuate the Wi-Fi and the electric systems, but they help balance your bioelectromagnetic system. So what we're trying to do now, what we're doing now on the website is we're going to put together a page that basically is for somebody that it doesn't know anything about shungite. And you go to that page and it'll tell you what to buy and why. And then after you get your basic shungite environment and the personal protection that you need, which it does come as pendants, it can come in a lot of different ways. But when you get that, those two things, your environment is a shungite environment, and you got personal protection, so when you walk out the door, you're still going to be protected. And then after that, all of the various different forms, the mediums that we present the shungite, and it's not necessarily only shungite, it's also many times orgone. When we put these energy devices out, that's for you guys to decide whether you need them or not. We can't make that decision for you. We can only provide you with tools, or Derek provides you with tools. I talk about them. Tools to take shungite and your own experience with it to a different level. So I just wanted to point that out, you know, that this is a family thing. You're our family. We're not going to, you know, just sell you trinkets. If we put it up there, it's because we think it's a good energy device. And I love the idea of the glass, because to take that little straw with you, and, you know, every time you go out, every time you've got, okay, you're at a party, everybody's drinking, you know, and you got this one person over there that's really drinking too much, just, you know, when they're not looking, stir it. Stir their drinks. They'll lose all the alcohol. They won't get drunk. You know, I mean, I've got this, you know, these ways of using these products that, well, I don't do it because I don't leave my house, but... So, Derek, you with me?
Yeah, I forgot about that. When you mentioned using the stir stick in an alcohol, that, yeah, they might want to be leery of that one, because it does have an effect. But yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, well, I think I talked about this, but there was this one person that thought it was crazy that you wouldn't get drunk if you had Shungite nuggets in your wine or your beer or your liquor. And so she said, so I did a test on myself. And she said, what? She drank all this wine and she was still sober. You know, she said, I don't even have a light buzz on. You know, she said, I never would have. It was funny. Her response was really funny. And she was kind of like coming off as if she was mad at us. She wasted all this money on this wine, you know. She couldn't even get a buzz, but she was just playing. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. So, okay, so let me see here. Okay, we talked about that. Okay, so this is another thing, and I don't know what to tell you, because one person was reporting that since they got, and they weren't being very specific on what they were talking about, but since they got introduced to Shungite, their hair had gotten thicker. And I have to say that's the problem, is you don't remember exactly when. But I did have a problem with thinning hair and falling out, you know. And my sister said, oh, get this great stuff. It's called Living Proof Full Shampoo. Living Proof Full Shampoo. You can get it on Amazon and other places. But she suggested that. So at some point, I started using that. But I think it, of course, was the same time that I got into Shungite. And my hair is now so thick and never falls out that it's kind of annoying. I have to get my hair cut much more often. But these are things that if you pay attention to, you know, if you're new to Shungite, one of the things that happens is that things start changing around you, but you're not attributing it to Shungite, because why would it help my hair get thicker? You know, that sort of thing. So if you're new to Shungite, or if you've been in Shungite for a while, start paying attention to things that you might not have associated with your being in a Shungite environment.
I can tell you.
Go ahead.
When you mentioned the hair, I want to get in before you got past that too far. We've had reports of, I don't want anybody, this is some miracle thing here, but what we've had a couple of people call back or report back an email, I think it was, using the Shungite shampoo and or soap, and they're having, let me see, one is a friend of mine, a guy I know, gray hair come back, get color back, and I have no idea what that's about, but he's been using it, and he tells me he used the, let's go with this first individual, he was using the Pink Himalayan salt soap with Shungite in it. And now we have the new liquid shampoo / soap that Nancy was speaking about earlier. And they've used both. But they're actually getting their dark hair coming back in spots. And he showed me pictures because I thought it was a joke. I was like, oh, okay, you're just messing with me now. And then all of a sudden, his wife chimed in and no kidding, Derek. And I saw the pictures and it wasn't straight from gray to deep jet black, but absolute differences. Oh, I'd say, I don't know, 20% back of his color. I didn't ask about the hair, whether it was thinning and getting thicker or not. We didn't get into that part of it, but it was more about color. And that was pretty drastic with at least these two people. So I'm not saying it's a cure for, you know, for gray. I actually like gray hair myself. But for those who maybe want to get something back, I'd suggest trying it. And we never even thought about that.
Well, golly, now I'm afraid to use it because I've had this white hair since I was in my 40s.
It's not doing it to me. So let's emphasize. So for myself, and I am graying, or as I kiddingly say, I'm turning blonde again. I'm not having that. So it's just one of those things. Maybe he was focusing on his hair, and maybe I'm not going to say a name. So maybe he has gray hair issues and one of the back. So maybe there's something there. I don't know, but I prefer in putting out all the information, and, you know, somebody smarter than me can maybe come back and figure it out and tell us what to do with it. But that is one of the results that we've seen in sometimes.
It's funny.
Yeah. And I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know what to say about it. But I don't want my gray hair going anywhere, so I'm going to program my shank guy to leave it, because I want to.
Yeah. Leave it alone.
Yeah. Well, leave it alone, exactly.
One of the hairdressers that, my favorite one, she said, maybe you should try something for gray hair to make it, you know, I don't know, make it. I hope it doesn't make it. Do you remember when they used to put purple dye in their hair?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gee, Dolly put purple dye in her hair. But it was a stripe. One day she went and had pink and purple stripes in her long hair put in. No, not that kind of purple. It was a purple hue that they would put into white hair, that they're walking around with these purple heads, you know.
Funny.
Oh, gosh. No, but there is a way to make, you know, white, it's mostly white, but, you know, some gray, kind of like, I don't know, look better somehow. And I said, no, I have to have my living proof shampoo. But who knows, maybe the shungite will enhance it. Anyway, I'm taking a shower today, so I'll be using it. Because I just got it yesterday. I'd already taken the shower.
Oh, the shampoo, yeah.
Okay, and I also got that, well, she's sitting here, that shungite. You told me this is a 9-day, right?
Correct.
You told me you were going to send me a piece of the 9-day shungite. Cosmic Silver Shungite, ladies and gentlemen. He puts a whole bunch of shungite in a big, apparently, because I've got a piece of shungite that's as big as the palm of my hand. What size was this thing when you put it in there?
Oh, yeah, that was special for you. She wanted to be with you and be 9 days, so that was so huge. It was bigger than my fist, which I know that's tough to say on the radio, but how do I compare it? Close to softball size, meaning barely fitting in the tumbler. And it's a large tumbler, relatively, because it has to be a durable, strength, you know, reinforced tumbler for the shungite for 9 days. And it's probably 5 pounds of silver. That's a huge amount if you think about silver in pounds, just hundreds and hundreds of little pieces in there as the tumbling medium. And then we just cram that big shungite piece in there of yours and then get as many of the smaller ones as we can. And it whittled away probably to get to the shape it wanted to be in that time frame, you know, 25-30%. And then it's different ones. So now what happened was the big one broke off pendants. So now we have the nuggets. So nothing goes to waste. There's no loss in any way of doing this. Even the powder, every ounce is treated as shungite. I didn't say gold for a reason, because shungite's worth more than gold as far as I'm concerned, on many levels. So it's treated like shungite and we keep it all. And when it comes out, that's how it shows. So what she's saying is it's basically smoothed off the edges on this chunk and softened it and gave it a silver sheen all on the outside and inside. But it was substantially larger. And that's the problem, why we have limited 9-day cosmic pendants. So I've gotten questions in the past few weeks asking, when are they going to become available? Well, 9 days of tumbling shungite or anything for 9 days is extreme. So what you put in that tumbler is not necessarily what comes out or the numbers that come out. So it's a long process, expensive process, and not everything comes out that goes in this, or however you want to term that. So that's why there's limited numbers in what we're making available online. But we do put out as often as we can the various sizes.
So you essentially took one big brick and tumbled it.
Mm-hmm.
And it broke in some places, giving you pendants. And you gave me this magical, unbelievable...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I got the package, see, the weird thing about this is that it's in the package. I don't know what he sent me, except I know the shampoo's in there. and I'm kind of walking in and I'm squeezing it. What's in here, you know? And I'm going like, did he send me a shirt? I had no concept it was a rock. And then when I looked at it, I'm going like, how did I think that could possibly be a shirt? Because I felt it was soft. And as I sit here and I press on it, it virtually feels like it's giving. It doesn't even feel, it's weird.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. And it's very light comparatively. I mean, I play with this size shungite all the time. And this is a lighter piece. Why? Because mm-hmm. it's got the silver? Yes. Because the darn thing is half in the etheric in the quantum field and half it's phasing in and out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not solid. That's the difference that I find in the nine day.
Oh, it's incredible difference. And then we've put in pieces of the 9 day under the microscope and taking images of it and video, and you can see all the just thousands of little particulates of silver that are not just on the surface. Some have migrated in throughout the shungite over these 9 days, and that's just a fact of physics, how it works. And it's incredible. You're right on the money about saying it's lighter, and everybody says that. And then I'm like, I know, you're absolutely, and I didn't think about it as far as the whole energetically phasing and whatnot, but right on the money sounds like it's really unique. And then these smaller pieces that come off, often I'll put in the store as a 9 day silver nugget. So they're the same thing, just a smaller size. And try and keep them, you know, affordable so everybody, more people get their hands on them. I try and gift them as often as I can too on Facebook and where, but they're definitely unique. And you can put them in your water. So I've actually been asked that several times. The cosmic silver shungite nuggets, yes, they can also go in your water, just like the regular shungite if you wanted to.
Silver's not going to hurt you.
Absolutely not. As most people know, I think it's going to benefit.
Somebody posted once that sugar, that you shouldn't be ingesting silver. They were all freaked out about silver being a toxic. And I've never heard of, you could kill yourself with silver, but I've never heard of anything like it. And they were all freaked out.
Okay. No, you can ingest silver, you can ingest gold. There's even stories of, don't drink colloidal silver, and they'll show you a picture of a guy that's all blue. That is not what that picture's from. It's another one of those, we'll just say, BS comments on the internet where they find a picture of a guy painted blue for another reason and say, he drank a quarter of colloidal silver, so don't ever drink it. Well, I can tell you, I've drinking over a gallon drink. I've consumed over a gallon of it at a certain time for a certain reason, for another show. No issues whatsoever. Took care of the problems right away without any side effects. So you're not going to turn into a Smurf if you drink colloidal silver. And that's actually what I've heard too, is that your skin will turn blue and it's all kinds of things. But no, the silver is not a problem at all, especially on the nuggets.
Awesome. So thank you for that. And hopefully my hair doesn't turn brown. Okay, now we got another one here. Did we talk about the LED lights last week? I don't think we did.
I don't think you and I have. No, not really.
Okay. Now that I've best buddies with Walt, I'm best buddies with Walt, but Mark Steele, the concept of LED lights is now taken on like, oh my God, I've got to learn more about this. And I still haven't got my hand on exactly what it is. But basically, an LED light can be in the red range, and it can be in the blue range. In the red range, it is not as dangerous as in the blue range. But in the blue range, it can actually cause severe problems with the eyes, including blindness. And it gets even worse after that. But let's just talk about what normal people are confronting, the LED lights in their houses. When LED first came, I thought those things with the mercury in them were just awful. I mean, I couldn't believe those things. And so as soon as the LED lights came out, I bought some, and then I took some readings on it. Cause this is, you know, at the time I'm not thinking Wi-Fi or spooky stuff. I'm just thinking, what's the EMF reading on it? And the EMF reading on it was, went fairly high, but it didn't go very far. It was only about an inch and a half from the light itself. So I'm like, okay, it seems okay, you know. I'm not going to worry about these LED things. And I just didn't worry about them. But then one day I had picked up a magnet that shouldn't have been where it was, and I was on a show, and I was playing with it. I had it in my hand. And no, I wasn't on a show. I was just doing something. I was playing with it in my hand. And for whatever reason, you know how we do these things, I suddenly looked at the LED desk light that's all metal that's right next to me, and I stuck it on it. And the change in the energy field was, I mean, I went, whoa, why did that happen? I had no expectation I was going to get such a change. So, and I to this day, I'm not exactly sure what changed. My first interpretation of it was, okay, so it's the shungite field has been somehow intensified by the LED frequency. I still kind of am going with that, that I don't know that it was doing anything different to the LED from an electromagnetic standpoint, but I think for whatever reason that LED just, you know, boom, like, you know, it's like rocket fuel in the shungite field that makes it just really nice because it goes out so far. So I haven't, did I? No, I just, you know, understand that we make magnets that don't, you know, don't make the grade. And so these are seconds. And so I have a lot of these seconds and I can play with them. So I took the magnets that I had and I just started walking around to every single light in the house and stuck the magnet there. Did it make a difference? Yes, a drastic difference. Did it make any difference to the safety of your eyes? I can't say that. You know, I don't know. It's another one of those, oh, we got to look at that thing too. Do you have any observation on the LED?
I do. I did similar to what you're saying. So in our store where we keep the various products, I installed some and they were new. All the store had was the LED shop lights. So they're about 4 foot long. And I installed those. And in fact, at one point you asked me if I had ever put magnets on there. And of course, me going 100 miles an hour, I hadn't even thought of that. And they'd only been up for, I think, 2 days at that point. So what I can say is when I went out there and I took the same seconds magnets and stuck one on the light, and I'll just be as blunt as I tend to be, I guess. So when I felt it, and I feel these things, so I stuck it on the light, but it's going to be hard to put into words. It took off. Okay. The energy coming off the LED was more scattered and jagged when I feel it. So if somebody asks me, what does this feel like? So this is how I would explain it. I'll stand under the LED light, and the frequency or light coming off of it has edges to it, and it's really quick. So it's, I don't know how to put this into terms, but that's what happens when I experience it. And then I put on the magnet, the light. So again, with the eyes, I don't know about that. I didn't see any difference there myself, but as far as the energy and feeling of it, it smoothed it out and took away. I'm trying to think of how to even explain
it. Agree totally with the way you're explaining it. But when that's why I say it, instead of it being sitting there as its own little energy field, it was like the shungite used it as fuel and coherently brought it together.
Yep.
You know what I'm
Actually,
saying?
Absolutely. It's like a dampening. Yep.
Yeah, it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
But
I did on several lights. Same thing.
Yeah, but your explanation, thank you for the words, because I wouldn't have known what to say.
Yeah, and it was right away, too, so it was... There was no time, and I'll have to try it with nuggets or whatnot, but I used it on a magnet on two, we had two of these lights, and it worked the same. I don't even have that explanation how I was going to explain it, but it's like a dark room. So I used to develop film, so you'd put them in the different chemicals, you'd have a red light. I think most people have at least seen that on TV probably, where they're in a red light, so you want to have too much or too many photons interacting with the chemicals, but the red light still has an effect. So it's almost like turning on, if you didn't have the magnet on the light and you're in this dark room, it's like turning on a bright light in that dark room. It's hard to come up with these analogies because of how I feel and see it. But it doesn't necessarily mean that too much light in that room is a bad thing, because light's not bad, but in that circumstance or environment, it would be too much. So that's why I would put the, rather than get rid of the LED light, put the sticker magnet or nugget or whichever one you have on it, and it's going to have an effect and make it more, you know, or less harmful to be around. And then, Nancy, as you mentioned on your eyes, that's interesting about that, because I know about the blue light being harmful and the various other wavelengths. And I don't know which ones are coming out of the LED.
Well, different, you know, when you go in and you look at the LEDs and they say daylight and all these different versions of what kind of LED you can buy. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Definitely.
Okay, what you need is you need it in the red spectrum. And I don't have wait a minute. I do. Give me a second. You talk here for a second. I got to get the whole
Oh, sure. Yeah, and actually, I'll just make a comment on, because Dolly made a comment on in chat really quick about time and whatnot. And we actually had a couple pauses in the past week. I was at a show 2 days ago, and the entire room, I'd walked in the room, and it paused. And everybody in the room, there's probably 100 people in there, vendors and customers, knew it. And it was, I don't know what to call it, but a pause. 100% quiet. The room went still energetically as well. And then it turned on again as if it was just a pause moment. So, I mean, I know you didn't hear any of that, Nancy, but I was just kind of bringing that in to what was being said in chat, that I think they're right, that I think these moments happen.
What's that?
Just pauses. So during our show, we had a pause where you like walked in the room or out of the room, and all of a sudden, every person, there was probably 100 people, just stopped talking, and you could feel the energy. And it was funny, Maureen mentioned that everybody was looking around like, what the heck just happened sort of deal.
Because I walked away from the computer?
No, it was just something I was getting into because it came into chat here about pauses and time kind of thing. And I think we all do it, or we all notice it at different levels.
Oh, yeah. You said that you had that happening at the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I usually don't mention, but it just brought up. So, yeah, it happened twice, actually. And then this, that was really interesting. I think it's a whole group thing. I don't want anybody pointing at me or anything. But so I think it just happens in the environments, maybe when individuals, objects, who knows. I think there's lots to it. But it does happen. And this was a neat pause because literally there's 100 of us there and everybody acknowledged it and was looking around, you know, like it was a movie scene or something. And we were waiting for the director to say cut or action. But yeah, so it's kind of. So it was the talk of the place. And then a few people come up and ask about it at the show. And so it was really interesting.
Okay, that occurs when you have... See, time is a delusion. It's a relationship of place and space. So when you feel these time energies shifting like that, it's because everybody in that place had either changed their place in the cosmos... or they had changed their space. Okay, so space is who they are.
Sure.
So everybody may have, for whatever reason, started to make a shift. And that can occur because one person makes a shift and you're very similar in frequency to that person. They made the shift and all of a sudden, from the standpoint of resonance, you begin to shift. So, and I think that this is happening, because I think the changes are happening so much faster that, boom, you're getting these little kind of like pauses in time. You know, because now you're out of sync. Something just changed, but to everybody. It's fascinating. I watched this stuff for a while. Well, I kind of have a weird thing. Okay, light. The LED light. All right, so
yep.
Walton and Dolly and I were doing a thing about the LED lights. And what we found out was that when you got a, that's what I went to get. I went to get the container, the box. I keep the boxes so I can put the ones that are no good in them. And yep. I'm looking at this thing and, you know, you're going like, how do I know if this is red or blue? You know, there's nothing that says it's red light or blue light, okay? It's just an LED light. And then it'll say the brightness, you know, and estimated cost and all this. But this doesn't make any sense to me. Where do I find... Well, in the product features area, if you look at it, you're going to find that it's going to give you a number that's probably always a four-digit number, and then a K. K. Okay? That indicates how much in the red spectrum it is to the blue. This one is the soft white. It's called soft white. I bought soft white, thankfully. And this is as far into the red spectrum as they seem to make them. And it says 2700K. So if you've got LED lights, before you buy them, look and see if it doesn't have, you know, that 2700K. Therefore, you know that the light is putting out more of a red than a blue. So there you have it. Okay, questions?
There's, yeah, and I want to kind of tie into that because children, okay, so the blue light is obviously harmful, and that's what's coming off our laptops, our screens, our tablets. So humans, it's been shown, don't have their this portion of their eye is not fully developed until past the age of three. There's a layer on there. And if they're viewing, so if you have a small child under three playing on a tablet and you're keeping them busy or playing on a cell phone, that's actually permanently damaging for their entire life. That there's a layer on there, and I forget the exact name, that will never develop now. So my point is just, you know, keep your kids far away from the TV as you can, but the cell phones, tablets, PCs, any of that stuff, keep them away from the blue light, or they'll never have a chance to develop that. And unfortunately, I see kids in baby strollers sometimes, and I get it, you know, it stops them from crying, this, that, and the other, but I don't know, that's because you are, and it's not commonly known, so it's not an intentional thing, but I want to put that out as often as I can, and with the opportunity, just keep the blue light away from kids.
You know, I love Walt, right? Walt, after, probably during the show, if I remember correctly, no, it must have been afterwards, but he got his television, and he went to the settings. And on the, I think it's the screen or whatever it is that talks about the color, you know, the screen. He changed it from blue to red. You could change it in the television itself.
I do it. I do it on my screen, computer screens too. All of them.
Oh, I didn't know you could do it on the computer screen.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can go and you can do this. And so I did it. And to be honest with you, I liked the cooler look. But I'm not going to risk my eyes on it. And so I, you know, put it into the red spectrum and went back to watching the television. And, you know, 30 seconds after I'm watching it, I forgot that I liked the cool better. So it's like...
Put it on your glasses, too. So those of us that wear glasses, you can get an invisible coating for the blue light. Get that added on. It's cheap. Not a whole lot of money. And that way you don't have to, you know... Because you're maybe working in an office and there's not that blue light turned down on all of them. So this way it'll help yourself out a little bit.
You can paint it on there? Is it like a clear
thing? No, they'll do it for you. Yeah, it's a clear thing. So it's a coating now. Often they'll get it. I think even Walmart has it on their glasses. It's a coating you opt in. So when you go get your eyeglasses, say, I want the blue light coating. Maybe they'll call it something else, but just mention blue light. And there's a clear coating spectrum. So it's not that you're walking around looking at everything dimly red all day.
You're saying blue light. You want the red light.
Well, this is for blue. No, there's the blue light that's harmful in electronics.
Okay, so what you're talking about a blue light, something that's gonna does it shift it or it must shift it?
It's probably
a yellow film.
Again, I don't know to be honest, but I just know they have it available, and it's to help with the harmful effects.
When you go to buy your glasses, like your prescription glasses, you can have that as an added to the glasses?
Correct, and that's the only time. It's not something you'll tint your glasses with like a car and add on later. You need it done at the manufacturer. I think they dip it in something, and I'd need to look more into it, but it is a feature the doctor was talking about, and I got it. I'm wearing them right now, and it's not changing anything in my visual spectrum, so it doesn't have an effect on what I'm seeing. But, you know, assuming you believe everything you hear, they are saying that they do have a coating in there that helps with that. But that doesn't mean I'm not turning on my night saver mode, it's called, on Windows sometimes, or turning down the colors. I do that as well.
So, yeah, explain in a computer how you would turn it down.
Sure. Yeah, so if you're on Windows 10, which most people are, you'll just go to the bottom right-hand corner, and you'll see what looks like a little chat box window, and that's your settings. It'll open up a bar on the right side of your screen with all these different little boxes, and they'll vary per computer, but often it'll say nightlight right there, and you'll just click on that and it'll dim down. But if you don't see that little nightlight box, simply click on the all settings button. It looks like a little gears on there. And within there, you'll open up your control panel in Windows, and then you simply click on, and I don't own a lot, but this will be up on YouTube. Then you click on your settings tab, and that's your display options. And there's a nightlight button right there that says turn nightlight, is what they're calling it, on or off at certain times. So if you have Windows 10, go into your display settings, turn on your nightlight option to come on at whatever time of day you prefer it. And they generally would trigger like 9 p.m., but I would do it on all day. And just leave it on. So unless you're into high-end video graphics editing and you need to know exactly what color is what, well then, you know, maybe you don't want it on. But if you're just a normal person, you know, it'll bring down, it'll your eyes, or you won't have the eye pain as well. So your eyes won't get tired. So at night when you get into, you won't be rubbing your eyes. That'll change. It'll have a lot of effects once you start paying attention. But again, it's under the display settings, and it's called nightlight.
Dang.
And time it. So put on the timer. So in the morning, maybe you want it a little brighter. So it'll have a little clock in there, a calendar, and mine automatically turns on at 9 if I haven't done it preemptively myself. And you can do that on TVs too. So your TV can do the same. Well, the smarter TVs, I don't like calling them smart, but those have the options. But yeah, on the computer, I would suggest everybody, you know, go to the settings and do that.
Thank you for that.
Tablets too. Mm-hmm, sure.
But don't trust any of this with your kids, please. You know, I mean, they got their whole life in front of them. You want them to be blind?
And don't let them, their tablets especially, and phones up where they hold them close, like, you know, maybe a foot from their face at best. That's exceptionally bad. And all the reactions and things happening with the photons and the different, all sorts of things going on. I'll just leave it at that. But, and none of them good, by the way. From eye strain to, I mean, just straight up damage, and then depending on your age. I mean, some of us, and as we get older, certain portions of the eye move and migrate, be it rods and cones, and things change. Let's just put it that way. So it's even worse for, you know, as we move on in age as well. So something to be aware of, and they don't really give us the warnings. But we should all be aware of it.
Let me just stress this. So you've got the S4 sticker on your tablet. The electromagnetic and Wi-Fi signals aren't hurting you, but the light coming off of it is. You know, to my knowledge, yep. We're not able to make a shungite change in that. I'm asking now. No, I'm getting a no. Shungite's not going to change that because it's not toxic. I mean, it's a field that's rotating. Fine, you know, I mean, that's not what the problem is. The problem is the light itself reacts with your eyes. And like I say, we went and, well, no, it was Mark. It was Mark Steele that went through and discussed exactly the, what do they call it? The way that the eye is being damaged because of it. So yes, your tablet's okay electromagnetically, but the LED thing coming off of it is different. I want you to think that, mm-hmm. Yeah, understand the S4 is working, but not for that.
Yeah.
At least not until I see something much more. I go with caution, you know.
Much of anything, even a good thing, can be bad. So light's not bad, but I mean, don't go staring at a light bulb either.
Well, I got all freaked out because I have an LED light in my fish tank. And I'm going, are my fish blind? What have I done to them? Oh, my God. So now the only time I turn on the light is to feed them. So, of course, I don't know how many fish are in the thing because I can't see them anymore because there's no light. You know, they get plenty of light from the sun coming through the windows and stuff. I mean, the only reason you have a light in there is so that you can look at the fish. But if my fish are dying because they got LEDs in there, oh my God. So I had to, I don't know if it's true or not, but I wasn't going to take a chance.
Sure. Well, you don't want to put it next to your window either, your fish tank, because then you get that algae growing out of control.
I know, but it's kind of fun to watch it grow.
Yeah, well, I'll throw up a costumist in there, and a little algae eater. My daughter calls him a trash fish or garbage fish.
One of those.
Yeah, little algae eaters. Yeah.
What do they call them? Begins with a G, I think.
Well, there's different ones, but Placostomist.
That's it.
One of them. The ones, yeah, they look armor plated, like little sharks with little sucker lips. Yeah, those are. Those things, we've had one that get a foot and a half long. Huge.
I had one that got, it wasn't a foot and a half, but it was a good 10 inches. And it lasted for well over 10 years. I think it was more like 15. Because we're going like, how long has this fish been in this tank? And we're trying to figure it out, you know, because I'd had a few of them. One of the cats went in and fished it. Fished one of them.
Oh, that happened here too.
Yeah, and another one jumped out of a tank.
Mm-hmm.
That just totally freaked me out. I mean, well, one jumped out of the tank and I didn't see it, and I saw another one jump out of the tank that I was there to put it back in. That's when I put a plexiglass cover over the top of it.
Sure.
You know, so they can't jump out. But but sometimes those little fish, they jumped and they'd hit their heads on the top of it. So I've got a weird fish tank. It doesn't have too much money. It's got a big space at the top of it so they don't bump their heads. But they can't get out.
Funny.
Oh, my gosh. And now I forgot what I was going to talk about. Oh, nope, I did forget about what I was going to talk about. What time is it? Oh, we only got 5 minutes left. Yeah. Thank you, Barbara. That was such an amazing 15 minutes of Shungite talk. I am going to play it on Cosmic Reality again tonight. So be prepared, Dolly. You're going to hear it again. You're going to hear it again.
I'm going to play it on alternative reality radio as well. So we'll get it on both stations.
Good. And Walt never listens to the show, so I want him to listen to this. It should be fun. Yeah, alternative, we're working on it. Just to let you know, I have somehow been banned from Vimeo.
Oh.
I've been blocked because I did something bad and I don't know what I did. So we have to get together later. Not today. Maybe after the show. Cosmic Reality, 8 o'clock my time.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're making changes so that you're going to like them. You'll like the changes we're making. It's just, you know, we have to learn what we have to do, and then we have to figure out how to do it, and then we have to do it. That's the way our life goes. Probably everybody's life.
Exactly.
So anything else? We got 3 minutes. I've been talking much more than you, so you better talk for the next 3 minutes.
I'm just trying to think, and I'll default back to the bees often and think about that. So we're just still going to expand on that. And then the reports back from that. So we have other beekeepers. So I'll mention some are using Shungite nuggets, as I mentioned before in the entrance. Some are using paint or both. And some are doing one hive next to the other hive. So number one hive will have Shungite, another one won't. And they're doing the comparison there, which is always nice. So as we get these results and photos, I'll keep uploading them and placing them into the ShungiteBeehives.com forum, where we provide information and form and video for beekeepers to learn how to use Shungite on the beehives and share the results. So we are getting lots of feedback on that. There's in Australia as well and New Zealand. So there's some beekeepers in both Australia and New Zealand that are now Shungite beekeepers. And they keep talking about that. So we'll get results through their, I'm not sure what season is there right now, but,
winter,
so I get reports back
winter in Australia.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, but their bees are still somewhat active, I know. So that's interesting. I don't know how cold it gets there, but so we've got that Canada too, a lot going on in Canada, probably three different contacts this week from various people on their hives up there doing well with photos and videos I mentioned a little bit earlier in the show, and I'll get some of that out there as well. But no, just lots of feedback, following along and taking care of our bees and trying to speak as often as I can. And I have a couple more, and I'll share the various places where I'm going to go and speak here in the Northwest, to be it talking to beekeepers or just interested parties on integrating Shungite with their bees or with their person. And we'll get that on the Facebook groups So I have one coming up this weekend in Mill Creek, Washington, and that's it's called the Northwest Psychic Fair. So I'll go there, and the Shungite Bees will be with us, and we'll be able to answer questions, and we'll have various Cosmic Reality products available and Shungite honey for anybody that's interested.
Very awesome. Thank you, darling. I'll see you next week.
Absolutely.
See the audience at what time? 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock to 8. And Mona's up next. Freedom Slips for doing a simulcast. Alternative Radio, you can always go there. Our live shows are simulcast over that. I know we're having issues with our player on our station. That's one of the reasons we're making changes. But there should not be this, dropping off of the signal if you're on alternative. Of course, you want to be on the live program. Sometimes he forgets to do it. Love you guys. Be safe. Thank you for being here. You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for being here. Be safe.